Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Companies to watch.
Time now for Companies to Watch, where we put the spotlight on Chinese electric vehicle maker XPeng, debuting on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange yesterday after raising $1.8 billion in its first local share sale. Its shares closed flat at HK$165, in line with its listing price. That is after rising as much as 2.1% higher soon after it started trading. So maybe a lack of appetite there with the ongoing China crackdown on overseas listed Chinese firms. XPeng is listed on the New York Stock Exchange. It closed 0.68% lower at the close of trade there. Now, three top Chinese electric car startups listed in the U.S., Guangzhou-based XPeng ranks third. In June, China's new energy market announced that XPeng had sold over 6,500 units, with the majority of its deliveries the P7 sedan. According to a CNBC report, this is a personal record best for that given month. XPeng listed or priced its new shares at a 4.1% discount to their last closing price on the New York Stock Exchange. Let's find out more about this company with Alvin Chow, CEO of Dr. Wealth, breaking down the news for us. Good morning, Alvin. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks a lot for helping us out. Let's get some context to this company, this Chinese electric vehicle company. It's been called the competitor to Tesla, but to compare the both, how does it stand or where does it stand?
So if we compare the revenue of some of these EV companies, and if you look at Tesla, it generates about $3 billion in China alone, and XPeng is about $500 million. So it's quite small compared to what Tesla has achieved in China. And there are also other competitors like NIO that's already at $1.2 billion revenue in the last quarter, right? And Li Auto is also about $500 million. So it's pretty competitive. And we haven't talked about other traditional makers like Great Wall, BYD, who also have more sales than what XPeng has achieved.
Talking about XPeng and its results for the first quarter, a bit mixed, a loss of 786.6 million yuan for the first 3 months ended March 31st, wider than the loss of 649.8 million yuan in the comparable period of 2020. Revenue for the quarter skyrocketed 616% to 2.95 billion yuan, beating analysts' average estimate of 2.67 billion. So what's happening right now with this?
I think it's normal for fast-growing companies to be making losses, and especially they're in a very competitive market. They are focused more on probably capturing market share and investing heavily to expand sales and production. So in such markets today, winner take most situations. So getting the number one spot becomes competitive advantage itself. So many companies are focused more on growing revenue than having profit. So to me, I don't think it is a concern as long as XPeng can continue to grow the revenue at fast speed, which they did in the last quarter. They are up like 600%. So I think that itself is encouraging rather than looking at the profits.
Alvin, could I get your thoughts on, or at least your initial thoughts on the IPO? I mean, we're talking about a company that's listed in Hong Kong and New York. What is the motivation behind this? And, you know, what is the difference that we should look at here?
I guess the most obvious reason is to raise more money and raise more funds for the company.
Okay.
Yeah. And the way that they do it was dual primary listing in Hong Kong rather than the secondary listing, which most of the Chinese companies have done if they have originally listed in the U.S.
Okay.
So the key reason, I think, is because XPeng didn't have enough track record listed in U.S. because they probably need about 2 years of trading history in U.S. for them to qualify for secondary listing in Hong Kong. So that was out of question. And they were forced their hand to just do a primary listing, which requires more disclosures and a longer application time. But there's an advantage to that because in China, there is Shanghai Hong Kong Connect, as well as Shenzhen Hong Kong Connect. With a primary listing in Hong Kong, that means that the mainland investors will be able to invest in XPeng as compared to the secondary listing, which the mainland investors wouldn't be able to do so.
Alvin, if you don't mind, just to clarify what you just said there. So the reason for taking this dual primary listing, and it does come less than a year after it raised funds. So we're looking at a case where they need more money. It's not 2 years yet, and that reputation needs to be built up. So it makes perfect sense to take on this dual primary listing in order to get more money.
Yes, just as we discussed earlier, in this race to the number one spot. And to capture market share as fast as possible as compared to the competitors is the main goal of a lot of all these EV companies. Mm-hmm. So they only want to make sense to capitalize on the good results they had in the last quarter and the rising share price to do a round of funding.
Okay.
And I don't think they are strapped of cash because looking at their last quarter statements, balance sheet, they have still have $5.5 billion of cash in the kitty after raising $1.5 billion last year. And now they're raising another $1.8. So it doesn't look like a desperate race. It is more strategy in nature.
Yeah, I was wondering that as well. I mean, it didn't look like they needed a lot of money. But coming out of Expeng for a bit and looking at Hong Kong in a broader perspective, you've got Refinitiv data that's saying that the Nasdaq grabbed the lead from Hong Kong in the first quarter of the year with 81 listings in the three-month period. That's almost tripled the 29 IPOs on the main board of the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. But with this, I mean, what does it do in terms of boosting Hong Kong as an IPO hub around the region, perhaps?
To be fair, Nasdaq has seen a higher number of IPOs probably because of all the SPAC listings, the special purpose acquisition companies.
Yes.
Yeah, which Hong Kong doesn't offer it yet. And all along, Hong Kong IPO track record has been commendable.
Yeah.
Like, able to steal a lot of thunder from the West. And I think they will continue to benefit in this era of US-China tension.
Mm.
And US have already sounded warnings to ban Chinese companies if they don't open their books for examination.
Yeah.
And recently, China also threw in more doubts by enacting new rules to block Chinese companies from listing overseas like in the US. So with all these challenges and restrictions, I expect more Chinese companies to list in Hong Kong instead going forward.
Yeah, I mean, and there's also, I mean, you brought up the SPAC listings and I almost forgot about it. Thanks for that. There is also more scrutiny on SPAC listings as well, and that could push in favor of Hong Kong in that sense.
Yeah, because it is in the plan that Hong Kong is going to allow SPAC to list as well as Singapore as well. So there'll be more options instead of just going to the US.
Let's talk a little bit about the situation regarding Didi Chuxing. I mean, what does this do in terms of appetite for Xpeng's debut? I know it's not technically the same company. One is a tech company, one's an EV company. But, you know, in your opinion, does this so-called crackdown push more Chinese tech firms to turn to Hong Kong?
I would think that they will get affected in general, not just the Chinese company listed in US, but also the Chinese company that listed in Hong Kong, Shanghai, Shenzhen. They've been taking a beating so far. And I think these are just some knee-jerk reaction to the intense clampdown, and investors are not sure when this would end. So that adds a lot of uncertainties, and some investors do not want to hold that risk anymore. They decide to sell down. But I think that the long-term growth story in China remains intact. And if an investor is taking a more really a long-term oriented view, I think it's a good opportunity to buy, not add position, if they believe in this China story.
Fair point. I mean, if it's in the news, people will be cautious, of course. Last question, and it's to do with the chip shortage, Alvin. I mean, your thoughts on the chip shortage. Is this a cause for concern for a company like Xpeng or with the recovering economies around the world? You know, that's something that they can get over soon enough.
I guess this concern has always been around for months, and I don't know better, but based on the news, so far, it seems like it's getting better, right? And TSMC, world's largest chip maker, has promised to dedicate some lines and channels to make photo chips. So I think that looking at the last quarter numbers, production-wise, everything is still good. The growth is still there. So I think that the supply eventually will ramp up. And soon, probably we'll forget about this chip shortage problem.
Fair point. Really appreciate your time. I've been speaking with Alvin Chow, CEO of Dr. Wealth. Alvin, I appreciate your time this morning. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.